We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, my goodness, is it Saturday already? It must be, because it's time for the Bob Rose Rewind, a new fresh edition for you. Happy Saturday, my friends. We start things off with Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek. We're calling him out about roads. We need roads if there's going to be growth. He explains it very well. Right now on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky. Carl Zalek, Marion County Commissioner, on the hot seat. Got a caller, what's bugging you? Saying, hey, what's up with Marion County? They're popping up houses like mushrooms, and they're not building any roads, like 10 miles from this place to this place. And anyway, she was not happy, not just with you, I guess, the commission. Is there an issue here? I guess I have to preface it by saying, it is Florida. We've always had growth issues up and down. And it's hard to keep up. Roads are expensive. However, is there an issue here? Is there anything that you're going to do about it if it's legit?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, she's absolutely right. Obviously, you know the setup, right? We talked about the big thing where all of our residents came out and said, hey, we don't want any more highways going across our communities, right? When we talked about the turnpike and extension, right? Well, from the turnpike in Wildwood, it really kind of starts there. The bottleneck goes from the turnpike in Wildwood all the way up to exit 399. Was that North High Springs, basically?
Or Alachua? 39, well, yeah.
You know what I mean? So we have a significant amount of traffic. Good thing about it is that in the governor's budget that just came out, project number 10 on the highlight is the widening of I-75 right in Marion County, Alachua, and Sumter. So there is some relief coming. It's a $7 billion budget in that regard. Also, the problem is from Wildwood to 484, what is that, 13, 14 miles, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you got another 10 miles or so between 484 and 200. And then you start getting some exits, right?
Right.
In there, we looked at before we started building actually the 49th Street interchange, which we're getting ready to do, where Bucky's is coming,
right,
and all that kind of stuff. We looked at 95th Street, which is a one in the middle there. And the problem was the land was very karst. You know, DOT basically vacated the P&E after they got done with their study, and the people of Marion County didn't want it at the time. So I understand what she's saying, but that's kind of what we were dealing with as far as an I-75 interchange. And then the problem to the south of us is that our county line doesn't go that much further south than 484.
Right.
And you have the way stations and everything else. So the only thing that we're able to really do there, which we have in our long-term plan, is we have an overpass on 49th Street, which is just south of that interchange, right around or just past Don Gartlett's over there. For the future, we have that in there, but it is a longer-term project. In the next 5 years, all the other projects I talked to you about on your radio show, the expansion of 80th, the new interchange, everything else, it's a $195 million budget for infrastructure implementation over the next 5 years. So we're working on it, but I know sometimes it appears that we're not.
Where is the greatest amount of residential growth taking place now and in the short future, let's say 5 years out? Where's all the growth happening or going?
Yeah, so
residential.
We call the 200 triangle. right? It's State Road 200, on top of the world, 60th, all of that little area there. We're, in fact, in a 12-month study right now to really hyper zoom in, if you will, on the traffic counts, the intersection counts, what's working, what's failing, so that we can implement our dollars in the most strategic way and also build accessory roads where we need them. Right. The problem with, of course, development, as everybody knows, is that you come in, you have a development. Well, you don't get the money from the impact fee or the proportionate share from the developer or any of those dollars. They don't come in until after stuff starts going up.
Project.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So as you build a house, well, that house is already in the ground. That people's the person's in the house 5 years before we can even plan to put the road in. Right. I mean, it takes how long before you can go through the proper engineering and road dedication and buying that property, eminent domain if you have to. I mean, think about the process you would have to go through to acquire land, build the road, and fund it. It's at least 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, it's much more technical than it was
does,
a long time
right?
ago. You know, if it was just throwing down some blacktop and rolling over it, we'd be good to go.
Yeah.
But DOT and other things aren't, you know, they're not.
And just so she knows, too, I think one of the things that we've really been focusing on is, you know, we have 475, which is a scenic road on the one side where all the traffic kind of comes off mm-hmm. and goes down between 200 and 484. We're building a parallel I-75 road, which is basically 49th Street, all the way from where Heathbrook is, the Dix and the Coles and Dillard's, all the way down to Marion Oaks as well and through, and that'll actually be the road that goes over I-75. So we have a focus on making sure that we can get those lanes and those things open. God forbid we can't put another interchange in the future.
Wow, that's you covered that. That's not scripted or on the list or anything. So thank you, Carl.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate it. What's going
fries
on with
crispy?
What's going on with the fire rescue team members? Tell me what's happening.
Well, unfortunately, we had another loss, another suicide of one of our dear firefighters. And, man, our team is just, you know, Bobby, I think in this situation, you're just absolutely at a loss for words. Our fire chief, you know, stated in his message that, you know, it was just painful and it's confusing. And we're trying to find more ways to comfort. Please pray for our team and our firefighters. Along with other resources, our chief has requested the mental health strike team to be brought in from the International Association of Firefighters, who will make recommendations for our department going forward. We're trying to look at, you know, is there something fundamentally wrong? Are these cases that, you know, people between what's going on at work and what happened in their personal life, you know, things happen.
Yeah, what are the stressors that are taking it to that level?
What are those things?
Yeah.
And we feel like, I mean, I would have thought, and I would have told you, Bob, honestly, we're trying to be a department where people can come and get those resources. We have an on-site, you know, kind of chaplain, and we try to do those things to just, you know, especially when we, you know, have scenes, and we try to make sure that our people are taken care of. But, you know, unfortunately, in some of these things, you know, with mental health, that, you know, men keep that stuff buried way too much sometimes, and we don't get help. This is more than an awakening, the fact that, you know, we can't carry all these pressures all the time. We need help.
Hey, look, I'll put it in terms, you know, and I'm not trying to get a pun here, but sound the alarm if you have any suicidal thoughts. First of all, don't think that you're weird or odd to have them. What the bad thing is when you don't acknowledge it and address it effectively, it does, for whatever reason, build up. The only other thing is, I guess, sort of forensically, if you look at anything to do with medications, what's different, what's changed, what's consistent amongst, you know, across the board of a few people, looking for those kinds of things. But in the meantime, all you can do is try to be as supportive as you can and offer that assistance in terms of mental health, right?
Listen, it unfortunately, in our law enforcement community as well as our firefighter community, the stuff that these men and women see, right? They see the worst, unfortunately, in our community. They see the most horrific accidents and things that you want no human being to see.
Mm-hmm.
Not that long ago, I myself rolled up on an accident, and to see those people in that state screaming, having issues, all these things, right? And then not being able to do anything to help. It's traumatic in every way. You bring that home over time, then you add the natural things that happen sometimes, you know, where people go through family issues, your kids' issues, You go through a divorce. I mean, you stack those things, and you have a recipe individually. And those people, we obviously need to do a better job making sure that we're there for that support.
Well, we used up a lot of time, but it was valuable time and great information. Just real quick, you got like a sentence here. Marion County launches property alert services for residents. What is it, real quick, and how can people find out more?
So Marion County Clerk and the Comptroller's Office, they put together this service to notify subscribers via email if their documents such as deeds, mortgages, and other records have been looked at or whatever. And so it just kind of gives you this property alert. You can find out much more by visiting MarionCountyClerk.org/property alert service.
Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek on the Bob Rose Rewind. Happy Saturday. Coming up next, our gun expert Chris Wagner talking about pistol braces and what the ATF is trying to do, and then also the latest gun bill that's moving through Tallahassee. That's next on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good morning and happy Saturday. The Bob Rose Rewind continues, this time with Chris Wagner, former law enforcement, trainer of law enforcement, former military, and big time into the Second Amendment, explaining about the pistol braces and what the ATF is trying to do. Let's ask him about it right now on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Well, we're concerned. I thought when we spoke a couple of different times, and I've also spoken with lawmakers, I thought that we were going to get this constitutional carry thing pushed through in Tallahassee, and maybe I missed something, but I thought that this was also involving open carry. You could open carry legally because of the Constitution without having to get a permit. If you chose to conceal, you'd have to stick with what we have now. You'd have to apply for the permit, etc. That way you have reciprocity across other states. But the bill I'm reading doesn't mention anything about open carry.
Yep, you're right. And that bill that we've been trying to get through for the last 5 or 6 years did not make it into this writing of the new House Bill 4 or 543. What this does is this is a permitless carry bill. What it does is removes the requirement to go through the state and pay for a license to exercise your right to carry a firearm in the field. What it doesn't do, and what you and I are proponents of and have spoken about, is the open carry bill, which would do this exact same thing, add that to this, but make it not just concealed carry, but make it open carry. That would make this bill better. What would make it probably a perfect bill is to remove all the gun restrictions as far as where and how you can carry and just leave it as a, what we call a true constitutional carry bill, but that's not going to happen, it doesn't look like. So this is what we're getting.
And so, like you said, there's a better way to do it, but if this is all you get this or nothing for now, are you feeling supportive of it?
I am. It's a step in the right direction. Anytime you move in the right direction rather than removing rights and restoring rights, I'm for it. Even if it's a little bit at a time, maybe that's, they took little things away here and there. If it takes us putting little things back now and then to get back to where we really should be, then I would support it. I mean, the alternative is there's no improvement. We're back right where we started from. So yes, I would say I would support this. It's a permitlessly carry. It stops you from having to pay the government for a license to exercise your Second Amendment right.
Yeah, like you either have that right that's guaranteed or not, but there are restrictions on it anyway. Like you can't be a convicted felon, for instance.
Correct, and that will still apply with this one. The permitlessly carry a firearm, the requirements are basically the same. If you're one of the federally prohibited people, you will not be able to use this. And of course, anybody committing a crime while carrying a concealed firearm, it does not apply to either. That's just in the bill currently. It's in the statutes currently. So it doesn't make it easier for criminals to carry guns. They're going to carry them anyway. This just makes it easier for people who can't afford it or can't, I hate to say it, take the time to go get training and a license and paperwork. This gives you back that ability to protect yourself and your family.
Don't we have, I think, either 24 or 26 states where you can open carry now, or am I confusing that with constitutional carry?
No, you're right. Most of the states that have enacted constitutional carry, it also includes open carry. So Florida's still behind in that. And I will be writing to the sponsors and to the committees that this might be assigned to recommend that what they do is they just simply, do away with the word concealed and or add the word open to it as an effective way of making it back to what we were originally trying to get past.
That would be great. Hopefully you'll have success in that. We'll see. And then one of the other, you said, look, this is a step in the right direction. It's better to restore some rights than to constantly encroach on those. I totally agree with that philosophy. Unfortunately, the gun grabbers and maybe even like the people in charge at the ATF or the BATFE, they just decided without Congress, they were going to put a rule out that these pistol stabilizer braces are going to be illegal. Thereby, in 120 days, once they post it, you'd be an outlaw if you had one, correct?
Correct. And it's already been challenged, but it's going to be challenged in the courts. There's already been lawsuits filed over it. It literally is ridiculous. The rule is not a law, but it's a rule that is 291 pages long. So, I mean, I couldn't get through all 291 pages. I tried. I read a lot of it. At one point, it becomes ridiculous when you're thinking this is all to stop what? It won't do anything. So our government, sometimes I think they waste a lot of time and effort on things that make absolutely no difference when they really could be doing things that help people and do make a difference. But then again, we're not perfect, but it's what we got.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think about complicating existing laws, making them further complicated, to where then the law-abiding citizen can unintentionally violate the law. It's similar to the IRS. Depending on who's reading you the information, your tax attorney or a member of the IRS, you could get a couple of different stories. But when you have 22,000 pages or more, it's almost like they could find something that you might be violating. I'm afraid that gun laws are going down that same path where people are their intentions are good and pure and law-abiding, but, oh, you didn't know, no, this brace is not allowed. Well, that ammo, that's outlawed, or whatever they can find. And I think that normally law-abiding citizens are not going to be negatively impacted when they're turning away bad guys every day through lax DAs and these no bail laws.
Right. And you know, I don't understand the justification for the ATF even addressing braces. I don't know why it had to be addressed, other than it was, as we all know, the plan of the Biden administration is to reduce your firearms rights. They're after the Second Amendment. It's obvious because he says it. But this is a roundabout way of doing some of that. So this is one of those, like I spoke about before, negative things that takes, you know, rights back a little bit. And here in the state of Florida, we have a chance with this new bill to maybe move them in the right direction. So well, I have to say, it's just ridiculous when we've got so many laws and rules over things that should be so simple.
Yep, I agree with that. Joe Biden doesn't think you need more than 10 rounds. If you do, you're hunting the wrong deer. They're wearing Kevlar, to which I say,
I've never been in a gun battle.
And I've also never heard of tyrannical deer.
He's never been in a gun battle. You need more than 10 rounds sometimes.
Thanks so much, Chris. We always appreciate your insight and your work in that area. Continued success, and hope you catch some big ones, because we know you love some fishing, too.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. You guys help us out a lot. Appreciate y'all.
Chris Wagner on the Bob Rose Rewind. Don't go away. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Charlie Stone, former state rep and former Marion County Commissioner, and he's running for a new seat. We'll get into it next on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Good morning. Welcome to Bob Rose Rewind Rollin'. This time with former commissioner and former state rep Charlie Stone. He's running for House District 24 seat, and experience is one of the things that he has on his side. I'll let him tell you right now on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky. Charlie Stone, former Marion County Commissioner and Chair, and now running for state rep, House District 24. Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
Well, good morning, Bob. Good morning, Greg.
It is good to see you. But gosh, it's been years since I actually got to see you face-to-face. Mm-hmm. And this isn't your first rodeo. You've been in politics. What's driving you back to want to do this again?
Yeah, very good question, Bob. Number one, I feel like that with my experience and my knowledge and this open seat, it's the right thing to do. And I base that on the number of years that I've had, 8 years on the county commission doing local government and 8 years in the Florida House prior to this doing statewide government. So I'm the experienced, ready to hit the ground running. So I'm there.
Would you find yourself in good company politically and on the same page, you think, as the governor?
Absolutely. Bob, I've had the pleasure of working with the governor 2 years before my term ended, and I supported all of his priority bills. I've had a number of conversations with his staff about different issues that he sees in the near future. So, yes, sir, I'm very much online, and can't say I'm actually endorsed in this campaign by the governor, because he's choosing not to endorse any candidate. But I will tell you this. I was selected to represent the governor as a trustee on the College of Central Florida. And the governor is very choosy on who he picks to represent him on a trustee board. So I was honored to be chosen as that trustee.
All right. Well, this is going to be somewhat of a short season, I guess, from the perspective that you have the primary coming up March 7th. And it's for a position like this, kind of a crowded field already. Mm-hmm. Your take, I guess, on what would make you different from other Republicans that are running in the race. We assume there's a level of conservatism amongst you. Is there any things that you'd like to point out?
Yes, there is, Bob. All of the candidates are campaigning on the conservative Republican Party ticket. So I say in that issue, we're all the same. But what distinguished me from all the rest of them is I have the experience. I have the knowledge. I have the life experiences that go along with that. Sometimes it's not what you have in front of you that it counts. It's what you've experienced in the past, and you know what to stay away from. As you might well know, in Tallahassee, there's a lot of bombs. There's a lot of places that you can get misled, and you can actually step into an area that you need not be in. Well, I know that. I was there for 8 years, so I know what to do and when to do it at the proper time.
You feel like if you get elected, you could hit the ground running, so to speak?
Absolutely, and that's critical too, Bob, because if you look at this particular House race, our legislative delegation consists of three House members and a senator that are all terming out in 2024. So if you looked at the 2024 election cycle, we will have all freshmen representing Marion County. Well, as you know, freshmen tend not to get a lot done the first 2 years.
Harder to get on committees, assignments, get time on the floor, et cetera. Sure.
Very difficult. Well, I don't feel like Marion County deserves to be put on the back row. So I'm there to pick out the ball and run on the first day.
Well, that makes sense because, really, Marion County could serve as a model in many ways of the way you've had growth, but yet you've had some, you know, control to it. You're bringing businesses to the community. I mean, there's a good story to tell, I think, yet you understand that, you know, it's also a horse community and how important equine is. And, well, you know what? With horses and farms and all that, what are you going to do about illegal immigrants? Let's not fool ourselves. We know many of them may be employed in those areas.
You are correct. Illegal immigration is a big issue, not all over the United States, but certainly in the state of Florida. I was told just last week that we actually have busloads of illegal immigrants being offloaded in Marion County already. Well, we have to stand with the governor on that. We have to absolutely try to do our very best to make sure that we don't have that influx of illegals coming to our county and living off of our taxpayers. I'm all for the governor. If he asks for money to ship them elsewhere to these sanctuary city locations, I will back him 100%. That should not happen in our county, should not be burden of our taxpayers.
Question out of left field.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. But you know, this isn't something that's really been talked about. It's an idea I just came up with. Is there a mechanism where in the state of Florida there could be a sort of a work program like the federal government does it? You could get a work permit, a green card, and come in, especially in the ag community. It's sorely needed. Could we do it at a state level and still be within the bounds of the federal law?
I think there is, Bob. I think there's some room to work on that. I don't know if it's been practiced anywhere else in the United States, but I'm sure there's a model out there that we could probably capitalize on in some other location. I did something that was similar to that. It didn't have to do with illegals, but it had to do with inmates. Because we are constantly releasing inmates from our judicial system and putting them back out on the street with no resources to work with.
Or skill
sets,
yeah.
I sponsored a bill in the Florida House that actually mandated our correctional centers to at least provide a valid ID so that these individuals that's being released could at least open up a bank account or check into a hotel or something. So we could do the same thing with illegals. We could make sure they were verified and perhaps seek employment. And I think with state and local government, we could actually employ some of these. And in my community, the horse farm industry absolutely needs some of those type workers.
All right. Just send me a shout out when you propose that bill.
Yes, sir. Will do. I'll give you credit for it, Bob.
All right. And then there's constitutional carry. This HB 543, this is not the bill that I thought we were going to get. It's way watered down. It doesn't provide for open carry at all. I guess my question is, I know you're a strong Second Amendment guy, so you tell me what you think. And then would you work to make this bill better if you got elected?
Yes, sir, Bob. I absolutely would. And thank you for mentioning that I have always had an A-plus rating by the NRA, and I will continue to do so. I was one of a very few in the Florida House that actually stood with the NRA in this, all through my 8 years that I was there. Yes, this bill has been watered down. It's nowhere near what it started out to be, and I would work diligently to get it back. Constitutional carry, as you know, was the law of the land for many, many years in America, and it's been changed over the years to where it's really hurting our Second Amendment rights. So I would try to restore it. I am a concealed weapon permit, as well as my wife, and we believe in our use of our firearms. We are trained, like everyone should be, to use them properly. So, yes, I would. I would absolutely encourage all my fellow House members and senators to do the very best that we can to restore the rights to carry.
That sounds good. Final question now. This came from a caller earlier, and I didn't have a chance to look it up, but apparently, and I recall this early on with the vaccine stuff going around, there's a state law somewhere where should the government mandate it, meaning the state of Florida in this case, mandate it, you could be forced to have a vaccine. That's on the books, apparently, before this whole outbreak. What are your thoughts on that, and would you work to maybe rescind this or change this law, this Florida statute 381.00315?
Correct. Yes, Bob, I would work to change that. I was unaware that Florida statute even existed, but now that you mentioned it, I think we did enact that probably in the early 2020 timeline when we didn't know what the virus was actually going to do, and we kind of shut down the whole state, if you recall, for a few months. That particular statute could be repealed in its entirety or certainly changed to it's something that we could live with. I was given that statute recently, I'd say 4 or 5 days ago, so I haven't had an opportunity to really dig down to it and see what all needs to be changed. But I can tell you, yes, if it's still the law of the land to have everyone vaccinated, I am totally opposed to that. So I would do all I could to get it changed.
Charlie Stone, running for state rep, House District 24. That's the vacant seat. Where can people go for more info on your campaign?
Yes, sir, Bob. I have a website. Actually, two ways you can get to it. Number one, you can have votecharliestone.com or just plain old charliestone.com. They go to the same location, and they have quite a bit of information, or they can feel free to contact me. I'm available by cell phone number at any point in time, area code 352-266-5940. Feel free to contact me.
Wow, fantastic. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Bob.
Charlie Stone, appreciate it. Say hello to your lovely wife, and maybe we'll get her on one of these days as well.
Sir.
Marion County Commissioner. Charlie Stone on the Bob Rose Rewind. And coming up next, State Senator Blaise Ingolia. What does the state have to do with the IRS? He'll explain next on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky. Good morning, happy Saturday. It's the Bob Rose Rewind. Last but not least, State Senator Blaise Ingolia, he's talking about the IRS and stopping the expansion of the IRS. What does that have to do with our state? He's going to explain that right now on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I understand you're working on a bill with your cohorts in Tallahassee that has to do with the IRS and IRS expansion, but this is at the state level, so I need you to explain that to me.
Sure. If you remember years ago, under the Obama years, the IRS targeted a lot of Republican-leaning, conservative-leaning groups, most notably the Tea Party groups,
right?
And they use the IRS, the power of the IRS, to audit and, you know, to subpoena them. So now that the federal government is on the verge of hiring 87,000 new IRS agents, we're afraid of that. And so we put up a bill, Toby Overdorf and I put up a bill, he's in the House, I'm in the Senate, that basically will do two things. Number one, it will mandate that state financial institutions, state chartered banks, contact and keep a log and report to the state every time the IRS inquires about somebody's accounts, whether they subpoena them or want records and copies. And this way, we can look through the data and we can see if they're just targeting small businesses who just happen to be of a certain ideological bent, right? So the second part of that is if the IRS is found to be targeting our small businesses, and small businesses defined as 50 or fewer employees with less than $4 million in gross revenue, then we are going to set up a fund and help pay for them to fight the IRS and even sue them if necessary.
Wow, that is brilliant. Something that comes to mind, say, might be the mom and pop, say, a gun shop. They, you know, if you weaponize the IRS like we've seen before, and you cited the great example, I think we're familiar with the Tea Party thing, then, yeah, they could target any business that has an ideology or agenda that's not on the same agenda that they're on. So would gun shops, that'd probably be one of the big ones, right?
Yeah. So you look at gun shops. You can look at nonprofits that, pregnancy centers would be another good one. Famously, we've seen that where the government had targeted the bakers for not wanting to bake cakes for gay couples. So that would be sort of like another target. Look, when you embolden a federal government, which has as much power as the IRS, and then you give them 87,000 more agents, the only place they can go to try to generate more revenue is going to be the middle class and the small businesses. And we at the state level are going to do everything that we possibly can to push back on this. We're going to hope that our Republican Congress will be able to defund it. But just in case, just everyone should know that Florida has your back.
I think that's a brilliant move. And then there's I know the governor's been pushing and promoting this, and you're part of this legislation as well, is, you know, death penalty always had to be exerted via a unanimous decision from a jury. Now you're working to change that. Go ahead and explain that one.
So just a little background from everyone. It used to be unanimous, and then the Supreme Court in 2016 said, we changed it to 10-2. The Supreme Court says, no, it has to be unanimous. That was the old court, the liberal court. The new conservative court says, no, it doesn't have to be unanimous. It can be left up to the legislature to determine what is the threshold. So you couple that with the fact that, and I'm just going to say it on air, you have an evil scumbag like Nicholas Cruz escaping the death penalty because you have some protest jurors that don't believe in the death penalty. Then we file a bill, and I filed a bill yesterday that says that, nope, we're going to change this. We're not going to go unanimous anymore. We're going to go with supermajority. So instead of 12 out of 12 jurors during the penalty phase, it will be 8 out of 12 jurors. So this way, under our bill, Nicholas Cruz wouldn't be able to take another breath.
And do you think this will be successful? You'll be able to push this through?
I do. There's a lot of the Nicholas Cruz not being sentenced to death, I think, shook a lot of people and made them realize that we need a change in this space. Because if anybody deserves to be put to death for the heinous crimes and acts, it would be Nicholas Cruz. I think that because the governor is behind this initiative also, it'll get across the finish line.
And then there's one that I want to discuss with you as well, the legislature, and I think more of this was coming from the House side, but, you know, they were working on a bill for constitutional carry that I know at one point it would be open carry or concealed with a permit, and you would have a choice, and you could do the permitting process or constitutionally, because the Constitution says you could bear arms, that you could carry a gun that way. Of course, not if you're a convicted felon, et cetera, not in certain areas. We get that. But when the bill actually kind of came out, it's really watered down. The open carry is completely left out of it. Is there any possibility of a remedy before this is put through or voted on? Can the Senate change the bill or push for it to be changed in any way?
Yeah, there's still plenty of time for any bill, not just this bill, to be changed because we still have about a month worth of committee weeks, and then we have 2 months worth, 60 days worth of legislative session. I will tell you that I've had conversations about adding open carry to it for a couple of reasons. Number one is that I do think it is our right per the Second Amendment to bear arms, and a lot of other states have open carry, and there's really no problem with it. Open carry is very misunderstood. A lot of the reasons why people want it is for inadvertent flashing, to make sure that they're not going to be prosecuted for flashing a concealed weapon, and then taking your firearm and walking to and from places, especially when you're hunting. So I totally get all that. Now, personally, I wouldn't open carry, right? Because if I'm in a restaurant, well, not in a restaurant, if I'm in a public setting and I have a concealed weapon that you can actually see, if there's a bad guy around, I'm going to be the first person taken out. But the other part of that permitless carry is long overdue. This is something that the state should have done years ago, but we're finally getting around to it. To answer your question, yes, we're still going to have those conversations. Can we get open carry across the finish line? At this point, I just don't have the answer to that.
Yeah, I just like the idea of having the flexibility to carry openly if I choose to, or concealed if I choose in, the venue or whatever the appropriateness. I can make that decision myself. And as you
now remember, just so everyone knows, I mean, everyone understands. So open carry doesn't mean that you can open carry in any place. It's public places.
Correct.
That's going to be right. So businesses can still say no firearms, no weapon carry on the premises. So that would still be allowed.
Yeah.
And another thing I want to get through to this. When it comes to permitless carry, you're having a bunch of liberals running around, Democrats running around saying that there's not going to be any background checks. It's the same process as a concealed carry. When you go in to purchase your firearm, they're going to do background checks. The only difference is you're going to have to wait 3 days until the background check is completed. If you have a concealed carry permit with permitless carry, you can go in and you can buy and leave with the weapon that day. So that's a big difference.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is you want to have a reciprocation amongst many of the states, which we do now.
Yes.
And if you do away with the permit thing entirely, then it leaves that in jeopardy, which, of course, in a perfect world, all the states would agree that, the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment. We wouldn't have to jump through any hoops. But in the meantime, we do. And I would very much like to have my gun on my person when I'm traveling. I think that's where you're very vulnerable or could be vulnerable.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I've been a big proponent of the Second Amendment. I was one of the few Republicans who actually voted against the gun control bill, the Parkland bill, years ago. So I'm a staunch opponent of the Second Amendment. I'll keep on advocating for that as long as I'm in the legislature.
State Senator Blaze Ingolia on the Bob Rose Rewind. Thanks to all my guests, Charlie Stone, Chris Wagner, Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek, and thank you for tuning in and supporting what we do. Thanks for listening to the Bob Rose Rewind. I invite you to tune in Monday morning starting at 6 a.m. for the Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy right here on 97.3 The Sky.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.